Chapter 1. One Up. I'm playing a video game in which someone could actually get killed. They don't call it that, but that's exactly what the virtual tactical field theater is. It's a series of connected rooms with video projected on all the walls, creating a virtual space that's the exact replica of a real place elsewhere in the world. Right now, the virtual theater is an apartment in Huy, a suburb north of Paris. The apartment's tenant, Yosef Amir, an IT worker for a French bank, is across town at his sister's birthday party. While he's away, we have two men in the actual apartment in France. One is scanning the interior with a high-resolution camera, turning blocky pixels on our walls into images that are too good for the eye to tell the difference. Meanwhile, the other man, whom we call Blurry Man, because the cameras catch only his trail as he moves around the apartment, is using a small device that resembles a flashlight to scoop up hair from the shower, fibers from the furniture, and dust from the bottoms of shoes and the doormat. Every few minutes, he pops a cartridge from the scoop and hands it to a third man, who runs back and forth between the apartment and a FedEx truck outside, where about $20 million worth of equipment that would be the pride of any university laboratory sends us real-time data as it decodes DNA, searches for matches, and tries to build a model of everyone Yosef came into contact with. It's a god-awful amount of data. Thankfully, we have software that helps us sort through it to achieve our intended goal, to learn whether a bomb will go off in a soccer stadium in the next 24 hours. Yosef's name came up in an intercepted phone call between a known ISIS operative in Yemen and another in France. Normally, authorities would simply call Yosef in for questioning and run down everyone he knows, but lately that's become problematic. Terror groups have been using the names of innocent civilians in their communications, causing far more people than the news has let on to get pulled into interrogations and have their lives upended, while the real bad guys stay underground.
"Dr. Cray? Dr. Sanders?" asks Emily Burkett.
She's our government liaison from the Defense Intelligence Agency. Late 30s, chestnut hair pulled into a ponytail, Burkett is a former Air Force officer who went to work for the spookiest of all the spooky government intelligence agencies. Carrie Sanders and I are civilians. Sanders is an anthropologist about my age, in her early 30s, who spent several years helping Facebook figure out your social graph, whom you know and what they mean to you, before coming to work for OpenSky AI. On the surface, OpenSky AI seems like any other Austin, Texas technology firm in a bland office park filled with video game companies and healthcare businesses. What OpenSky AI is, really, is a private contractor for the Defense Intelligence Agency that helps them sort through thousands of data points, deciding who should be renditioned to some black site to find out if they know something or are about to commit a crime that poses a clear and present danger to national security. Sanders is looking at a grid of all the faces pulled from the photos in Yosef's apartment.
"Facial recognition isn't coming up with a match. Theo?"
Burkett asks me again, this time a little more impatiently.
"Yosef's heading back now. Can I pull the team?"
I'm walking around the apartment. Well, the virtual version. Staring into the open cupboards and closets, trying to see the unseen, while something in the back of my mind wonders how the hell I found myself in this situation.
"I think he's clean," says Sanders.
I want to agree with her. The thought of Yosef going through a life-changing ordeal because some asshole in Yemen pulled his name from a Google search sickens me. But I also know that just because it sickens me, doesn't mean I should call it before it's time. I walk back into the kitchen. Yosef's refrigerator is covered with photographs. Most of them are him and his girlfriend or his friends, smiling at the camera, laughing at a table filled with drinks. It's the kind of thing you'd expect a typical Parisian millennial to have. We'd already searched his online presence. Every Facebook post, every like, every friend who liked his posts. It's all been...